Good morning, everyone. We can wave, sure. Wave and say hello to your friends. It's good to see you all this morning. We are here once again to worship God, because in the end, there's nothing more important. God is all there is to life. And we need to be in these settings where we get to worship together to be reminded of that, to take us out of ourselves and to reorient ourselves to the one who gives meaning to all of life. And so this is a chance to help one another do that this morning and to remind God that he is the center and needs to be the center of our lives. So thanks for joining us this morning. As I often say during these services, I feel like we need this constant reminder. I need it that when we talk about a worship service and you see the order of service there, everything on that screen, everything that we do here is worship, whether we're praying, whether we are having a discussion with one another about who God is and what he's doing in our lives, that if all of life is ultimately about God, then everything that we do that's related to him can be worshipful. And so we are going to sing as part of worship, and we're going to discuss as part of worship, and we're going to pray as part of worship, and we are going to submit ourselves to scripture as part of worship. So let's do that together this morning. I'll begin with God's greeting and then our call to worship. This is God's greeting for you this morning. Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Let's take that for a moment. Let's worship our God together. I'm going to read both portions, but I do invite you to participate during the all portions there from where you are. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Amen. So let's sing a couple of those songs of deliverance in worship to this God who forgives us our sins.
Stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing Sometimes I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond the fame. In my heart, in my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, more. Let justice and praise
Amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace, unending.
unending love, amazing grace.
Well, thanks, Marco, for setting that up for us. We're now going to move into a time of congregational prayer, and Lenore Radcliffe is going to lead us in that. I think Zoom has changed some of its settings. So Lenore, I'm not actually sure if Marco unmutes you now or if you will need to unmute yourself, but if you could say hello, then we'll just make sure we can hear you as well, and then we'll go from there.
Hello, you can hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Oh. Okay. So you have a bit of context for my prayer this morning. I was reading my devotions recently in Daily Bread, and it spoke of a lighthouse off the coast of North Carolina. There's a memorial there. They had to move it because of erosion. When they moved it and the foundational stones, they wrote all the names of the lightkeepers from that particular lighthouse. And so collectively, all these names are now known as Keepers of the Light. So my prayer today for me and for all of us is that we will be keepers of the light. So now we'll pray. Keepers of the Light. Father God, that is what you call us to be. You want us, you are depending on us to be keepers of the light. You both created light and you are light, the light of the world. As individuals and as a church family, you call us to shine. Ephesians 5 tells us we were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We're to live as children of light. And Paul goes on to tell us what that should be like in our lives. He tells us the fruit of this light consists in all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. God, I confess that my thoughts and actions fall far short of all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. Please forgive me for falling short of this standard. In the book of Daniel, we're told that those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. A lighthouse was never meant to be kept dark. It was meant to guide a ship safely into harbor, and it also would serve as a warning to show which way not to go because of the threat of rocks and reefs. My responsibility as a child of God and as a part of the family of God is to be that beacon of light and that beacon of hope. Father, we are in troubled times when we need help navigating through this path of uncertainty, this time of shifting ground. Help each one of us to hold on to what we know you to be, the one who brings light to our dark world. As a part of Unity Baptist, we each need wisdom as to how best be keepers of the light. Give Ben and our council direction as they make decisions regarding how to help Unity shine. 1 Corinthians 4 helps us to know how to do this well. Paul tells us we have the light in our hearts, even as we are like fragile clay jars. We feel so fragile. We're pressed by troubles. We're perplexed. We're knocked down. But Paul says we never give up because our spirits are being renewed day by day. So we don't have to focus on the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on something different, something eternal. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Father God, there are many in our church who are grieving the loss of a family member, and there are acquaintances and neighbors of our church family who have been recently bereaved. continue to shine your light into each one. And may we be your hands and feet as we remember them. Psalm 118 says, "You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. His way is perfect, and he makes my way perfect." A lot of the time, our way does not seem perfect, and our world can seem so dark. But you have promised that the darkness cannot extinguish your light. Psalm 112, verse 4 tells us, "Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. O God, make us to be so." Father, you are the light in each of our lighthouses. So let us be diligent in being good keepers of the light, so that everyone in our lives, in our worlds, can see the light of Jesus in us. May we show them your safety and guidance, your salvation and steadfast love, and your never-ceasing watchfulness. Forgive me when I don't let my light shine. The people in my life need me to demonstrate goodness, generosity, and compassion. Keep me, keep us in tune with your Spirit, so we can be that sunbeam of hope. You can be the giver of light to those trying to wade through the darker passages in their lives. And as we are keepers of the light, may we also be givers of the light, offering to our world the life-giving light of the world. We give you thanks with grateful hearts, praying your purposes to be fulfilled in our communities and around the world, because you have not forgotten or finished your work on earth during this pandemic. You have so much more for us to do. Help us to do this with joy in our hearts. I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lenore. You guys can go to your table. We're going to move into our reflection time. Please grab your Bibles. I do not have the scriptures available to share on the screen, so you will need something in front of you, whether it's your phone and you scroll to it, or whether you have a hard copy and you flip it open. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, so you can find those now. And as you're doing that, we're going to start off right away with some discussion. So we're going to break off into some small groups and discuss this question. Why do we have such a hard time admitting that we are wrong? Whether that's to God or to someone else, why do we have such a hard time admitting that we were wrong? So we're going to take about 8 minutes in those groups. Marco's going to break us off, and then we'll come back and we'll be in the Psalms. I'll see you soon. Okay, welcome back, everyone. So let's hear from a few of you. Are there a few brave individuals who would like to put up a hand? You have to raise it in the participants section, and then say, I wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about what our group talked about why it's so difficult sometimes to admit that we're wrong. Is there someone who'd like to share the wisdom that you gleaned from your group with the wider group? Please feel free to raise a hand. Okay, well, hearing crickets and my kids coloring in the background, then I will move on. We can pick up the discussion after the message then. As I have shared before, I'm going through this season of repentance. And so for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is go through some of the Psalms where the psalmist is dealing with his own repentance issues. And I'll explain a little bit why I'm doing that in just a minute. But I shared this story with you last week. I'd like to share it again just to make sure most people get to hear it. I'm not going to continue repeating it week after week, but this is what I shared last week. A couple of weeks ago, Chantel and I were trying to decide who's going to put Rosalind down for a nap. And we decided that I was going to do it and try to give Chantel a break. And so I'm going to, putting Rosalind down for a nap sometimes means sitting in the dark in a rocking chair for an hour or more. And so that means that the other person's going to get a break. And when we decided that I was going to do it, I was happy to do that. And sort of knowing that my wife had needed a break, I said to her, please use your time wisely. And she looked at me and said, that was condescending, Ben. And you know what? She was right. And I the funny thing is that I had meant to be a help and an encouragement. And even in my own wanting to help and encourage, I was still condescending. There was still an issue of pride there. And it leaks out into all of my relationships. And God really, from that particular instance, started revealing to me places where I have been proud. I have been condescending towards others. So as he's been leading me through this season, it's meant sort of unraveling some of those things. And what I really felt like God was saying to me was, if you can be condescending and proud towards the person that you love the most and the person that you respect most in the entire world, then how much more have you been that way towards the church that you are supposed to be serving? And so I shared with you last week, I share with you again today that I want to admit that I've led from an I know better attitude and that I have a condescending spirit at times. And I want to confess that and ask for your forgiveness. I was thinking about one particular example of this. It goes back a number of years. A number of years ago, I shared a challenge with our church that you should consider putting your kids not in Christian school, but in public schools. And the reason for that, well, there's a whole missional theology behind that, essentially wanting our children to be missionaries to kids who don't know Jesus. And God started revealing to me that as much as I had very good motivations there, just like I also had good motivations with my wife, I also had a negative side to it as well. And there was pride and condescension in that. And so I want to ask for your forgiveness for that as well. I'm not taking back the challenge. That's something that you're going to have to wrestle through. But I am taking back the attitude that was behind it, which was both good and bad at the same time. And so I want to apologize for that and ask for, once again, your forgiveness if I have hurt you. Now, as I said, God has been taking me through this season of confession and repentance. And one of the things he's also been showing me is that I have, in general, a lack of attention to my own sin. That's the reason I need this whole season right now, because I haven't been paying as much attention to it as I should. And so that is actually the reason that we are going to be in these Psalms of Confession for a few weeks, because I don't believe that just because God is teaching me something that therefore you have to go and do the same thing. But what God started showing me is that, well, if this is the way that you are personally, then it means that it is also the way that you have been leading your church. And if I have been leading our church that way and not focusing enough and paying attention to issues of sin, it means that I have actually not been doing my job properly. And I want to confess that. And that means that we need to take some time to right some wrongs in that area. I do. And so this is going to be a focus of teaching for a little bit, not just because I'm going through it, but to make sure that we are together on the same page. And right some wrongs that I have brought to that table. And it's serious. I mean, when we don't talk enough about sin, it means we don't realize enough that we need a savior. So if you hear this right away and think this is going to be a downer for a couple of weeks, no, not at all. It might be in part, and I'm not going to lie about that, but if we go through any season of confession and repentance, it is a season of recognizing that Jesus is greater than we realized. So please hear that note of hope and joy as well. And you're going to see that in our psalm as well. We're going to go to Psalm 32. And so please, I hope you found your Bibles. I hope you had your finger somewhere there in the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 32. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. So Psalm 32. This is of David. It is a massacre. Please don't ask what a massacre is. I don't know. But he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding and must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The reason I wanted you to start talking with one another about admitting whether or not, admitting that we are wrong and how difficult that can be sometimes is because I wanted you to start thinking about some of the places where you've had challenges in relationships in your own life, be it with God or someone else. Because sin always brings some sort of a barrier to a relationship. And so see if you can relate to some of these ways of describing it. Say that you have gone through something with someone else and there are still issues that are somewhat unresolved. Have you noticed that the temperature of that relationship starts to cool? And maybe now you're a little bit more reserved and you hold back from that person a little bit, or you sort of tiptoe around them, or things you just notice, there's something awkward. Or maybe it's just one particular topic between the two of you, and so you avoid talking about that topic. And it gets very uncomfortable when something around that issue, that topic comes up. And you just, in the end, you feel like, there's something between us. I'm sure that this is resonating with you, with some issue either in your life currently or that you have experienced before. Well, if we go through that with other people, how much more do we go through that with God? Sin puts a barrier, it's a relational barrier between two individuals. Now, going back to last week and when Joel and I were having a conversation here about Revelation 3, and Jesus says to the church in Revelation 3, the church in Laodicea, that they think they're doing well. They've been telling themselves that they're doing well. And he says, you're actually spiritually blind. Jesus essentially, to paraphrase him there, says you can't even see your own spiritual position without my help, because he encourages that church to come to him and buy from him gold and white robes. But then what's that last one? A salve for the eye, medication, something that is going to heal their eyesight. And obviously it is metaphorical. He is talking about their spiritual blindness to themselves. They don't even recognize that they are wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind and naked. Jesus says, you're not going to recognize that without my help. We have become really, really good, and I'm speaking personally, I have become really, really good at hiding my own sinful condition from myself. And we say to ourselves, I don't want to go there because it's going to hurt too much. I don't want to admit that I am wrong, that I have been wrong. That might mean I would have to change. I don't want to change. That's uncomfortable. That's painful. If I admit that I'm wrong, it's going to cost me my pride, my ego, my image. And I try so hard to manage my image. And if I say I was wrong, well, that disrupts that whole process. And so we lie to ourselves about who we really are and what we've really done. And we do it to protect ourselves, but we end up deceiving ourselves. Now, if you still got your scriptures, look at verse 2. This is one of the things that David has to talk about with God, is that he's had a spirit of deceit. We are self-deceived. So please go back and read Revelation 3 and the church at Laodicea again, because I don't want to leave it just at last week and say we're moving on from here. I'm not ready to move on from here. I think I need to marinate in that rebuke for a while. We like to protect ourselves, right? We like to deny that it's not really there and we don't want to think about it. And then sometimes we minimize our sin, right? It was so little. It's just a little thing, right? So small. Or what we do is we justify. Say, well, you know, it was actually okay because of this or that, or he did it first, or they said, or I was just responding to, and I'm the victim here, and I have no responsibility whatsoever. Whatever it is, we find all of these different ways of justifying it. And as God started taking me through this season of confession and repentance, I found myself journaling and arguing with God about, but it's small, but it's not that big of a deal, or I'm not the primary person who's to blame here. It's like, that's beside the point. Wow. Okay. And then what happens? Well, what happens is that we start to accumulate these weights. And sin gets described here in this passage as a weight, or the weight is the result of God's hand being on him because of all of these sins. I would like to suggest to us, purely from my own experience, that we're not carrying one or two 50-pound weights. I would like to suggest to us that we are a whole lot more like a hiker who's got a backpack and picks up a pebble, picks up a stone, picks up a rock, and throws them in the backpack and then just keeps hiking. And we've been doing this for so, so long that we end up getting weighed down by our sins. The text says, "Your hand was heavy on me," in verse 4. Now, maybe just pause there. This isn't exactly in the text, so this is more of just an observation for my own life. Take it or leave it. But when God's hand is heavy on our lives, there's a danger there. Because this is where I have noticed that I start to lash out at other people. When God's hand is heavy on me, when I'm feeling guilty about something, when I've let resentments and unforgiveness and bitterness build up, and I haven't gone to God yet to deal with it, that's a very dangerous spot for me to be. And I have noticed that I have lashed out, and then people get hurt when sin weighs me down. The second thing I've noticed is that there have been other times in my life where I'm not actually feeling the weight. And maybe that's some of you this morning, that you can't think of anything that comes to mind. I'm not really feeling weighed down by all of this. I'm not really sure I resonate with this psalm. Well, I've kind of noticed that in myself too at times as I've reflected on my own life. And there are times where I'm feeling okay and feeling pretty good, like the church in Revelation 3. We think we're pretty good. And what I haven't realized is that I've been actually carrying so many of these pebbles and rocks for so long in my backpack that I don't even notice the weight anymore. It's become a part of me. So I offer that to you. Anyway, this place where we're carrying this weight, or we're feeling this weight from God, it can be a dangerous place to be. But look at verse 5. He stops denying the weight. and he stops lying to himself. In fact, he once again admits that he's been lying to himself because he says he's been hiding it from God, if you look at verse 5. And maybe it was very clear to him what it was that he had been doing wrong, and it's easily admitted and dealt with. I know that for myself, it has been much more of a process of asking God to search me and asking him to show me and starting to pull out one stone and one rock from that backpack at a time. It's been people like Joel who have been encouraging me as he's really been emphasizing we need to look at the log in our own eyes. So between asking God to search me and show me the log in my own eye, it's been really helpful. And in this process, notice that the psalmist, he makes his confession to God. I don't want to deny that. But he starts to involve other people in a way when you realize that he's made his confession perhaps privately to God, but he's also then admitted it because we have it in the Psalter and he's clearly admitted it to some other people. We have a record of a public confession in a way where he says, this is what God took me through. And I had to admit that I was wrong. And I remember Terry Fossen saying that a circle of confession should be as wide as a circle of offense. And I don't know if that applies specifically to our psalmist or not, but he is definitely not just confessing to God privately because he has included the wider circle of his community within the journey of his confession and repentance and asking for forgiveness and then celebrating who God is and what he has done through the process. I'd like to share with you a story that a friend of mine shared with me because he's been going through something like this. You don't know him, doesn't live around here. He's had a lot of frustration with his church, both the leadership and his fellow congregants. And he tried to address the issues, you know, in a godly way, face to face with the pastor and some of the elders and so on. But he felt that it really hadn't gotten him anywhere. And that in the end, he felt like these resentments, he didn't even notice it, but resentments were starting to build up. And God has been taking him through a season of confession and repentance. Now, he didn't lash out as far as I know. And in fact, I've talked with him many times through this process. And it wasn't a matter of lashing out and needing to ask her for forgiveness for something like that. But let me just read the text that he sent me. What he did was he got on the church's private Facebook page and he wrote them a long confession. And so here's what he says. I have his permission to share this, by the way, in case you're a little bit worried. This is only part of a much longer Facebook post that he gave to his church. He says, I have been a lukewarm Christian most of my life. As God peels back the layers, he is searching my heart and revealing hidden sins, incorrect assumptions, misguided ideas. There is much I must repent of and much forgiveness I must seek. This letter is part of that process, something God is asking me to do. It's awkward and uncomfortable for me and for you. I'd rather do something, almost anything else, but I am certain that I have no other option. So as I continue, I ask the Father that these words would not be mine, that I would not seek my glory and benefit, but that it would be all for him. My brothers and sisters in Christ at my church, I ask for your forgiveness. I repent of my attitudes. For in the recesses of my heart and mind, I nurtured a spirit of judgment and frustration, even bitterness at times towards this church. I set up standards and expectations for a church, for you, which were my ideals, not God's. In discontent and disappointment, I encamped on the fringes and I cast judgment upon you. I questioned your character. I harbored a holier-than-thou attitude. I recognize these sins and I ask from God and from each of you forgiveness. God is showing me that obedience comes at a price and begins with repentance. Repentance is humiliating and messy, but it unlocks our hearts to the cleansing liberty of God's presence in ways we cannot imagine. I do not know where he is taking me from here, but where he is, there I want to be. There I want to go with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I do not want to be the same anymore. I long to be ever changed into the image of Jesus. And he goes on from there. I think his words could apply not just to a church, but to our family relationships, to the relationships with our friends, with our spouse, with our coworkers. I don't actually have an answer for you about how the church received this, because he only posted this week, but I'm really excited to see how God is working in his life. I think he took really seriously that confession is serious because sin is serious. And he took Jesus' words seriously to look at the log in his own eye. I'm going to leave it there. But I also want to point out in this psalm that it starts with the psalmist celebrating the fact that God has changed his life. He says, "Blessed is the person whom the Lord forgives." Right? That the Lord does not hold guilty anymore because he's confessed. The psalmist starts experiencing God active in his life in a new way because he goes through a period of heaviness and probably searching and then confession at a whole variety of levels. And he says, this is so good, it can only be described as something that God calls blessed. There's a spiritual blessing. Do we want to be closer to God? Let's start our confessions. And then notice at the end of the psalm, he says, rejoice. There is genuine joy that is available. I have to admit that joy has always been one of the most elusive and frustrating concepts for me. In fact, every year during the season of Advent, I have the hardest time writing the readings that we do as part of our worship when it comes to the week about joy. Just it seemed like a word outside of my experience. Not so much anymore. In fact, there's one thing the other week. This was just so small. But I got frustrated about a decision that Chantel had made, which was not a bad decision at all. And I was sort of griping to myself about it, because when I found out she'd made it, I hadn't been around. And so I'm getting all tense and frustrated and angry. And then suddenly God brought to mind that my role is to, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church, and the way Christ loves the church is he dies for it. And that we are to serve our children as well. And once that came to mind, and I said, you're right, God. I'm sorry, I want to serve you this way. I cannot explain it, but just instantly, I was smiling. Like there was just a switch that flipped so quickly. And over such what seemed like such a small thing. A small thing to be upset about, and then a small thing to confess, but then suddenly there was joy. And joy enough that showed up on my face. And as my family has often told me, are you happy? Well, tell your face. For this to show up on my face was something that God must have been doing. So I want to offer that to you, that there is joy as we start to explore confession and repentance. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing a song in response to who God is and what he is doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for your ongoing patience with people who do not deserve it. Lord, we have to admit that we sin against you constantly and deceive ourselves about it constantly, And we are generally unaware of most of our sins and the weights that we have been carrying. And I pray that you unpack that backpack one at a time, that you would lead us through our own seasons of engaging you with the things that we have been pretending aren't there. Lord, I pray you would guide us through this process, that we would focus on the log in our own eye, that we would come and offer these things to you, say we are sorry, accept your forgiveness, and have you guide us into a restored life with you and with other people. Lord, make us more like the sinless man who walked this earth and showed us what it means to look like God. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to follow Christ. We want to be like him. So we are offering you ourselves and saying, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to deal with these things. You have, of course, already forgiven us in Christ, but we still carry these weights and we still need to deal with them with you. So Lord, guide us in our confession, guide us in our repentance, guide us in all humility, and may we be walking in step with your Spirit through this whole thing. And we are going to offer you worship, and we are going to look forward to times of joy because of who you are, that you have not given simply condemnation, but that there is joy in the fruit of the Spirit as you put your Spirit in us more and more. In your name I pray, amen. Let's worship God through song again.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Lift up your face.
Okay, just a couple of announcements before we break off into groups for discussion and fellowship, if that's what you choose to do after the service. The first is that I got an email from Scott at Hope Mission this past week, and he had just come back from a great wedding and honeymoon and was also thrilled to be back, because when he got back, he discovered that Unity Baptist had come through with quite a number of extra donations for their summer fun kits. So he just sent me an email to say, thank you so much, guys. They managed to put together, I think, 25 or 30 more kits because of what you guys dropped off. So way to go, guys. Keep up the good work. It's great to hear the way we get to, the way that we are, when we support some good things that are going on. Like he sent me a picture. I'm not sure if I can share it, so I'm choosing not to here, but it was just a couple pictures of some people that he dropped off the kits to, and they were just smiling ear to ear, and these kids were so happy. And so I just passed that on to you as well, that you are making some people really happy and a summer a little bit better, and you're reminding people that there are others who care. And hopefully through that, some people are seeing Jesus in us and in Hope Mission. So well done. Thanks for doing that. The second one is, I was going to ask, hey, Joel, are you around? Is Joel Cadu around? You're waving. Hey, Joel, do you want to give an announcement about the Thursday night thing? Sorry to put you on the spot, but you've never been shy around a microphone. So are you cool to do that?
Sure, right now?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So for those who didn't know, weren't there yesterday, we are going to start meeting, just talking with Ben and some other people in the church about where does God want us during this time? And one of the things that really struck me was reading through First Chronicles this week, was Saul's sin in not inquiring of the Lord and David, who did. And so I feel like as we go through all these changes of churches, we're doing church as we are right now, and what does that look like in an ever-changing world, that unity can come together and we can inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, where do you want us? Where do you want us going? And we had the first one this Thursday, and there was, I don't know, maybe a dozen people there or something like that, 10 people. And it was, you can talk to some of the people that were there and ask around, but it was really, really good. It's not your typical, I felt in prayer this week, it's not your typical, let's pray for so-and-so who's, there's a time and a place for different prayer. What we want to do on the Inquiring of God nights is ask the Holy Spirit to lead it. And the themes that come out of the different people sharing and what God's saying to people, and then really leaning into the theme that the Holy Spirit showed. And so I felt like that's kind of how we did our first one. And so if that's something that that you are feeling that the Spirit is pushing you to get to a place of where we're really leaning into where God is speaking to us as unity, and where does he want us to go during this time? And what does he want us to, our gatherings to look like? And where, as Ben has talked about today, and where do we need to repent of, and where do we need to change what we've done, things that were unhealthy, repent of them and move on to places where God's leading us. So I really encourage people, we're going to be meeting on Thursdays at 7:00. It's over Zoom for now, and to really inquire of the Lord. Where are you saying you want us personally, and then corporately as Unity Baptist? And I really think God will honor that. I think if we say, Lord, we want to hear from you. He showed up this Thursday. I can tell you that. Ask anybody that was there. The Spirit was moving in that meeting. And it's a powerful and awesome thing to see. And I really believe if Unity seeks him, we'll see him. So I hope to see people there on Thursday. I hope it gets so big we have to break into smaller groups. But if you can make it, and we would really appreciate it. It was really awesome. Is that okay, Ben?
That's great. Well done. Thanks, Joel. I appreciate you letting me call on you without any notice there. You proved my point. You're great with a microphone, and spontaneity is a gift you have. Thank you. So yeah, we're looking forward to seeing whoever would like to join us. We're changing the name. You might see it in the email this week. I think the email just says prayer meeting, but we're leaning into this theme of inquiring of the Lord. And so in subsequent weeks, when you see that go out, that's what that means. It's a Thursday night, but we're here to inquire. We're here to ask God to lead us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. Thanks for being here. It's great to be with you.